We're going to start in John chapter 12. And as you know, as far as labels go, Sunday was a Palm Sunday. Okay? How many of you realize that? I forgot to put it in the bulletin. but it's known in Christendom as Palm Sunday. And here we are in John chapter 12. So if you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, let's read here. You follow along. I'll read out loud in these first eight verses. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. And skip down to verse 12. It says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. So as I got to thinking about this and I had planned on talking about Jonah and his selfishness and how we need to help our own selves with selfishness, etc. And I guess as I thought about that, I thought, you know what? This is Easter week. This is Resurrection week, and I need to quit being a selfish pastor trying to stay on a schedule. Listen to what the Holy Spirit of God is trying to tell me to do. So that's where this kind of hit for me anyways. And I wanted to bring to our attention that as we consider Easter and all the events that happen during this time, and please understand that as I say the word Easter, it is not have to do with a particular holiday. It has to do with this period of time that was the same time as the pagan Easter holiday that all these events happened. Okay? And so if people are not smart enough to discern the difference between the two, then I don't have time for those people that they want to pick a fight and say, well, you're not a very good pastor. You're not a very good Christian because you celebrate a heathen holiday. That is not true at all. It just happens to be during this time of the year. So there you go. Anyways, but we do need to understand all of the different events that are happening. And as we look at this, we see that this is a time 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to the city of Bethany. And now Bethany is that city that he had been before, right? When Lazarus died, he rose Lazarus from the dead. These are his friends. He had been through here many times. And this is the day before Palm Sunday. Okay? So Sunday is what day of the week? The first day of the week. Okay? So this would have been on a Sabbath day. The particular day that he came to Bethany when he met with these people. And over in Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14, it tells us that it was in Simon's house. The house of Simon the leper. And these were people, I love how some people have read this, Simon the Leper. But he wasn't a guy that jumped around. He was a guy that had leprosy. And we know his friends were there. And in the accounts in Matthew and Mark, it doesn't give the name of the woman that anoints Jesus. But in John, it does. And as we look to these things, we know that this is the familiar friends, familiar faces, Mary, Martha and Lazarus are here. The disciples are gathered together. We know from the accounts
in Matthew and Mark. You say, how do you know that these things are true? Because in all three chronologies, as they go forth and they have these indications, the next day was when Jesus went in to Jerusalem in that triumphal entry. So you have that record in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay? And so Luke does not record this particular story of Mary anointing Jesus. I think it's interesting that in John it tells us that she anointed his feet she anointed him and wiped his feet with her hair. In the other two passages, in Mark and Matthew, it just says that she anointed him and by pouring the oil over his head. So I want you to draw a logical conclusion. The scriptures are not wrong. Anybody heard of something called gravity? Okay. What happens when you pour oil on somebody's head? It's going to go everywhere, okay? And if you have oily feet, what is that going to be do to you when you get up to walk around? It might be a little slippery, okay? And so it's not a different account, and it's not a mistake in Scripture. I just want you to understand that, okay? There's a logical explanation to things. And Brother Randy, I'm going to give you a shout out here. He asked me last week, he said, Preacher, why do people have a problem with some of these Bible things? I said, it's because they don't come looking at it as if the Bible is always right. So if you come up against a problem with doctrine or in the scriptures, and if you come at it from the perspective that the Bible is right and we're wrong, you'll always get a chance to work out to the right conclusion. But if you come at it saying, well, the Bible could be wrong, then you end up with a whole bunch of other things. And you're going to come up with the wrong conclusion. I can promise you that. But anyways, I was thinking about these accounts and what happened here. And I begin to think about why is it that we really celebrate Easter? And I'm so glad that this year, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, that by the way we do things at this local church, the Lord's Supper happens to be that evening. Because that's really why. It's a memorial. And now I know that in these passages of Scripture, it says that what this young lady did, what Mary did for Jesus, was to be told for a memorial of her. But I want you to understand that wasn't Mary's objective. That wasn't Mary's motivation. She wanted to remember her Lord. And Jesus told them, hey, look, she is doing this for my burial. Now, whether or not Mary was one that knew that this was or sensed that this was coming up soon, I don't know. Whether it was the Holy Spirit of God that kind of moved her to do this, we know it's a fulfilling of Scripture. And prophecy, but do you understand that in her heart, she adored Jesus Christ. She reverenced him. She loved him. And she took this costly ointment and she poured it over his head and anointed him and she wiped his feet with her hair. She was showing affection. She was showing love in the highest degree. She was showing regard with the utmost esteem of affection and respect to her Savior. And as I just sat in my chair and God's just kind of sitting me down and saying, all right, son, take a look at this and think about this. We're so busy with getting this activity together and this thing together and making sure we have big lunch plans for everybody, all taken care of, and we've got the candy ready for the kids and these things, and I'm dealing with a missionary that can't come and having to reschedule stuff, and it can get to the place where it's all about the holiday and the activities of things during the holiday, and we forget to sit down and adore our Savior that we're celebrating this particular event for. And so we've already read the account in John, and as I read these, I want you to listen to the heart and the attitude of Mary and the people that were there. In Matthew 26, if you'd like to turn there, you may. It's verses 6 through 16. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and to be and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this woman hath done be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. There's a whole bunch of different perspectives and emotions and attitudes going on here in this story. But do you understand that when she came and she had kept this aside, and John tells us that she had taken this and purposed this. Jesus said that she kept this for his burying, and so this was set apart. This was something that she wanted to do for her Savior and for her Lord. It didn't matter what the other people thought. And as we take time this week and we could go through all the different time markers and day-to-day events of what happens. You have this anointing, and then you have Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry, and you have where Jesus cleanses the temple and he goes back to Jerusalem and he teaches more, and then we have the Lord's Supper and the Passover and all those things that happen. There's the timeline of events. But we often get caught up in all those things and forget about our Savior. As these people were gathered together, there were attitudes that they were caught up with caring for the poor, right? Which we know that was a facade because Judas wanted to steal from it anyways. We of course understand that we know his greed, because he said, look, I'll betray him. What will you give me? He's like, pretty much I'll take anything. And we find that at the end of Matthew 26. It's interesting that in Matthew, he says that they had indignation over a woman showing her love for her Savior. Sometimes we get impatient and frustrated because people aren't doing what we think they should be doing. And we need to understand that sometimes it's better to be a Mary than a Martha. Remember the other instance in Scripture that tells us about that? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus, and Martha said, hey, tell Mary to get to work. I need some help. And it wasn't that Martha was doing anything wrong, per se, but Jesus said, Martha, leave her alone. She's doing the right thing. And again, Jesus has to stand up for her and says to these people, look, you got the wrong idea. You've got the wrong focus in your life. Now, if you'd like to go to Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 3, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. Again, we see that. And I like Mark's account because he said in some. Not all the apostles, the disciples, if you will, had this thought. Some of them did. And he says here that they were murmuring against her. And in verse 6 he says, "And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." And so as we approach this week, and we do think about the events, and if you understand the Jewish calendar and timeline of how things all happen, we understand that by this time, by 6 p.m. on Wednesday evening, Jesus Christ is taken down and put into the tomb. And so that's why I don't celebrate Good Friday. Okay? Because it doesn't add up mathematically. It's not the right number of days and nights according to what the Bible teaches us, and according to the Jewish law of things, a 12-hour day and a 12-hour night. And we know that's how things work in the Jewish system. And so you understand that all of this has already been accomplished. And so as we now can understand and think about these things, we have Thursday, we have Friday, we have Saturday. And you understand that as we prepare our hearts, we need to spend some time anointing Jesus with the precious ointment of our lives. To think on these things. No matter what people may say, they say, well, you should be busy doing this, or you should be busy doing that, or what a waste of your time to sit and to worship the Lord, to focus on Him, to think on these things. We all should probably take a little extra time, especially during a week like this week, where we can get to the place where we can, like they did on that Palm Sunday, shout out Hosanna, right? Hosanna is an exclamation of praise to God. And when our hearts are full and we have paid tribute and adoration to our Savior, we can then proclaim glory to God in the highest, right? We can exclaim praise to our God, and it will be in the right fashion. You understand that as the Jews came, they were here in Jerusalem, and they heard Jesus, what were they shouting for? Yeah, the deliverance from Roman rule. Okay? They hadn't bought into Him as the Savior. You understand? He's coming in fulfilling prophecy, right? Riding in on the donkey and going through town, and they're putting coats down and palm leaves down and all of this down, and because they're treating Him, if you will, like the physical deliverer that they thought was coming. And we all understand that wasn't the case. He was coming this time to be the spiritual deliverer, to purchase our salvation with His own blood on the cross. And isn't it interesting how quickly that dies away? You want to know what? Mary and her adoration of Christ didn't melt away so quickly. You understand that as people were gathered at the cross, even the disciples scattered abroad, right? John was the only one that we know of there. And there were several Marys listed. Perhaps this was one of the Marys. I tend to think so. You understand that she, at the times that we see her in Scripture, she's at the feet of Jesus. We need to spend more time at the feet of Jesus. And if you will, stay there a while. And even as that oil runs down His head that we have anointed Him with, we can wipe His feet with our hair. And I love what Jesus said. how this act that she accomplished would be told for a memorial wherever the gospel was preached. Why? I think it's because of her great show of love for Jesus. We need to kind of up the ante, if you will, and I know that's a worldly term, but we need to raise the bar as far as our love and our show of love for our Savior goes. Especially during a time like this, where we have an opportunity, probably more this week than any other time of the year, to share with people Jesus Christ. People will say to you, Happy Easter. And you'll say, well, Happy Easter to you. Do you know why Easter is a holiday? Have you ever asked somebody that? Because they started the conversation usually, right? They'll say Happy Easter to you. And you say, well, you know what? This holiday exists because of my Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose again the third day. And start telling them about Jesus. And how much you love Jesus. And maybe even be the weirdo that breaks out into song and says, Oh, how I love Jesus. And we can even do the oh, Brother Camp. And they'll just look at you strangely. And they'll say, well, I thought Easter was all about Easter bunnies and eggs and, you know, all those types of things. And you say, well, no, it's not about any of that stuff at all. That's how the world worships its gods. But we serve a risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you can carry on a conversation probably more freely this time of the year than any other time. Maybe except for Christmas, right? When that's the birth of Christ. And that's another time we can talk about the Lord. But I just want to be an encouragement to you. And I know you're a very studied congregation. And you probably understand all the ins and outs of the timeline of the crucifixion. If you don't, I've got one right here that you can have. Okay? And but I wanted to focus on this obscure story. It's only in three of the four Gospels. But it had a great effect to the Lord in His life. And He told His disciples, you have the wrong perspective of this. And you need to understand that this woman and what she has done will be remembered forever. And we need to have that kind of effect. Think about this. In how you worship the Lord and how you've loved the Lord and shown your love and affection to the Lord. Would the Lord say that your show of love for Him would be a memorial whenever the gospel is preached? Is it that kind of love? Is it that depth of love? And that's what we should focus on as we finish out this week and as we move towards Sunday and we celebrate our resurrected Savior.